Edward Rushton was the radical, campaigning, blind poet of Liverpool. His life spanned the 18th and 19th centuries at the time of the slave trade, of revolution, and of social upheaval. Forgotten Hero, written by Bill Hunter and narrated by George Sefton, is his story.
Chapter 14. Rushton's Times, the Naval Mutiny. The leading and indefatigable campaigner against slavery, Granville Sharp, found that as his fame grew, he received constant appeals from sailors who had been press-ganged, asking him to help end their slavery. In April and May 1797, the sailors in the Navy took things into their own hands. There was the biggest naval mutiny in history, a mutiny of the fleet at Spithead and the Nore. At this time, more than half of the seamen in the fleet had been forcibly impressed or recruited from debtors' prisons. E.P. Thompson, in The Making of the English Working Class, says that among the mutineers there were members of the London Corresponding Society, which demanded parliamentary reform. The presence of 11,500 Irish sailors added another revolutionary ingredient. Richard Parker, the unwilling admiral of this floating Republic of the Nore, brought into the fleet the language of Tom Paine's Rights of Man and some experience in committee organisation. The great mutinies of the Spithead and the Nore and the Irish Rebellion of the following year were events of worldwide significance, showing how precarious was the hold of the English regime. The British fleet was the most important instrument of European expansion and the only shield between revolutionary France and her greatest rival. To threaten this was to threaten the whole edifice of world power. Ships of the fleet had sent petitions to the Admiralty for several weeks and received no reply. On Easter Sunday 1797, the crews refused to take orders, ran up the red flag on their ships and elected their central committee. In making a statement which declared that the action of the mutineers was part of the onset of the Age of Reason, the Mutineers' Fleet Committee was expressing solidarity with the French Revolution. Thompson is scornful of historians who foolishly argue that because the majority of sailors had few clear political notions, this was a parochial affair of ship's biscuits and arrears of pay, and not a revolutionary movement. The Mutineers' Committee declared simply and movingly, "Long have we been endeavouring to find ourselves men. We now find ourselves so. We will be treated as such." The mutineers discussed removing the fleet to France, and in fact several ships sailed. After a month of mutiny, the sea lords gave a pay rise and better rations. The seamen demanded the removal of some of the worst officers, and the Admiralty declared the ousting of 100 of them. The King's pardon was given to the Spithead seamen, and they began to return. However, the biggest part of the mutineers at the Nore remained out, declaring the pardon did not cover them. After a few weeks, the ships surrendered one by one. Parker was court-martialed, denied defending counsel or access to the transcript of proceedings, quickly sentenced to death, and hung from the yardarm of the ship he served on. He and 38 other seamen's delegates were executed. Hundreds of seamen were flogged and transported. In a dying testament, Parker declared that he died a martyr in the cause of humanity. A poem on the execution of Parker was sold in Liverpool as a street ballad. It was after the naval mutiny and reports of agitation in the army that two acts were passed imposing the death penalty for illegal oaths and for attempts to seduce the armed forces from their allegiance. These were the acts that were later used against the Luddites and the Tolpuddle martyrs. Soon after they were promulgated, a Richard Fuller was arrested and sentenced to death for giving a handbill to a member of the Coldstream Guards.